A devotion of the Lutheran Church of Our Savior based on the 17th century book of Christian Scriver entitled The Soul's Treasure. The fictional character Gotthold takes us on a journey in each of Scriver's devotions. The journey is through times such as ours, times of disorder and conflict all around us, and the ultimate destination of today's journey is the ultimate destination for all who are the objects of God's grace. Scriver's devotion for today is titled, Heaven. He writes, "Meditating upon the misery of the times and the great disorder occasioned by the conflict in all places and among all ranks, Gotthold walked forth into the country in a desponding mood. Reaching the summit of a hill, which commanded an extensive view of the neighboring country, he tarried for a while, and then indulged in the following train of thought. I here behold cities and villages and fields, forest parks and meadows, hedges, rocks, cattle, birds, and men, but all of them, as it were, comprehended by heaven and enclosed within its circle. Look where I may, heaven is still the last and the furthest object on which my eye must finally rest. In the same way, I may be assured that whatever is or happens in the world, be it good or bad, is subjected to the heavenly government and providence. This is the vast hoop which, amidst the sore destruction and the manifold strife which prevail, keeps the world together. With this belt, my all-powerful and wise and gracious God encircles all things. Just as no one can find a spot on earth in which he has not the heaven for a roof above and a fence around him, so just as little can anyone withdraw himself from that divine and universal governance which disposes all things to the glory of the Most High and the salvation of the righteous. Why then art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? If things go strangely in the world, the strangest thing is this, that a divine order runs through the worst confusion of human affairs. Let them go as they will. They cannot go otherwise than as God wills. You may meet with much to offend and distress and harm you, but only look a little further, and you will see the heavens beyond as the last object in sight, governing, comprehending, terminating all the rest. It matters little what may be the course things take, if only they tend to heaven. Why should you be offended because in times of insecurity, war, plague, and plunder like these, God does not translate you to the better world in an easy chair? Let it suffice you to know that all his paths are mercy and truth, and all terminate in heaven at last." Our last Scriver devotion made me think of the words of the Apostle Paul, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, or is it the glory which shall be revealed to us?" Well, it all depends on which translation of Paul's epistle to the Romans you're reading. Some versions translate it, "the glory which shall be revealed to us," and as many, if not more, versions translate it, "the glory which shall be revealed in us." Actually, the little Greek word eis can be translated either way, either in or to. And when you think about it, it's amazing that the Holy Spirit would so fashion the sentence that either in or to would be correct. Because you see, both convey a scriptural truth. The sufferings of this present time are the consequences of the sin within us and within others. Consequences which visit us as long as we're living in this fallen and this sin-filled world. But as difficult as they may be for us to bear, they are not, St. Paul says, worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us when, as is said in the prayer of Christian burial, the shadows of life lengthen and the evening comes and the busy world is hushed and the fever of this life is over. Then, Paul says, then the glory, the doxa, literally the inherent and the intrinsic worth that we have through our baptism into Christ, will be revealed in all of its fullness within us. No more suffering, no more pain, no more death, no tears anymore, for all of these former things will have passed away. Think of it, the doxa, the glory that is Christ's, will be in us. And so it was that Jesus prayed on the night before his crucifixion. The glory which you have given me, Father, I've given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I and them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity so that the world may know that you sent me and loved me even as you have loved me. And then, grace upon grace, our Lord Jesus goes on to say that the glory to be revealed in us will also be glory revealed to us. Father, he said, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. Seeing Christ in all of his unveiled glory, seeing Christ in the fullness of his glory, of which Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration only had a glimpse, seeing Christ in the fullness of his glory that perhaps St. Paul more than any other prophet or apostle saw when he was caught up into paradise and heard, he says, things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. And seeing one another in glory too, the husband or the wife, the mother or father or child in Christ with whom we have shared so much suffering, now seeing them in glory and waiting together for the resurrection of our bodies and minds no longer and never again bearing the scars of this world's time, but suddenly being together again with an eternity of glory that we've just begun to enjoy together. A glory well worth waiting for, because as St. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Little wonder then that St. Paul, comparing his suffering to the glory that he knew would come, could say, my desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. Far better than all earth's pleasures is the soul's treasure, our Lord Jesus Christ, and all the glory that his heaven holds for all who are his. In his name, amen.